few thoughts from that verse. So if you've got your Bibles, if you turn to Luke 9, we're going to start in verse 10 and reading. It says, "And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, 'Send the multitudes away that they may go into the surrounding towns and countries and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here.' And then Jesus said these words to them, but he said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said, 'We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all these people, for there were about 5,000 men. And then he said to his disciples, 'Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them." So putting a little bit of context around this passage of Scripture, Jesus has had this incredible day. He's taken his disciples aside for some quiet time, and the crowd, they hear about it and they flock to him, and the multitudes come to him, and all day long he's ministering to them. He's healing the brokenhearted. He's healing the oppressed, he's casting out demons, he's healing the sick. And everyone who comes to him, he's got time to minister to them. And they walk away as different people. And the sun is beginning to set. Like, I just, it's sort of like, I don't know about you in autumn or, I don't know, lately anyway, you'll notice that there's been wonderful sunsets. Well, I've just been observing those, and I just imagine that what's happened on this day is Jesus has ministered to all these people, and he's had a fantastic day, and then he's sitting down and he's watching the sunset and those beautiful colours that when you try to take a photo, it doesn't actually match up to how magnificent the sunset is. I imagine it's that sort of day, and then the sun's coming down, and the disciples, they come up to him, and they sort of had this, I imagine they've had this committee meeting, and they've sort of got together, the disciples, and they've sort of said, "Come on, we need to tell these people to go, because we're in this deserted place, and as magnificent as the scenery may be, as magnificent as the ministry is, they've got to find somewhere to put their heads down tonight. They've got to find a place to get some food, and it's not like there's a nearby McDonald's, or it's not like they can go to a fast food restaurant nearby. It doesn't work like that." And so they have this committee meeting, and they come to this conclusion. It's been a long day. And then they come to Jesus, and they say this: "We're in this desolate place. We're in a remote place. There's no food. There's no lodging. Just tell the multitudes to go back now." And Jesus considers what they say. He considers their request. I imagine that he pondered on it for a moment. And then he says this statement. He says, "You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." In that moment there, I imagine the disciples would sort of be thinking, "You give them something to eat. I'm probably ill-equipped. I'm looking at the multitudes. I'm looking at all the people. I'm looking at little Jimmy's lunchbox and thinking, it's not going to add up. I'm not going to be able to do it." You see, have you ever felt ill-equipped? Have you ever felt under-resourced? Have you ever felt put on the spot? I know in the classroom sometimes I deliberately put kids on the spot. Put on the spot. Have you ever felt put on the spot? The limelight's on you and you're not ready for it. You know, and I think as sons and daughters in the kingdom of God, we can sometimes find ourselves in this position quite a bit. You see, you may be a little like me and you've had some of these statements roll across the television of your mind. I remember having a conversation with Mikey and Tone one day, and we were talking about imagine if. Sometimes we go into this imagine if stage, and it's imagine if there was a television on the top of your mind that played all of your thoughts? Imagine as you're talking to someone, there's that television playing through your mind. Well, if we're honest, I reckon if we had our imagine if televisions scrolling through the moment, we would have had some of these thoughts roll across the televisions of our mind. And it would go something like this: oh, I'm not equipped to do that. You can't ask me to do that. I'm not equipped. I don't have the resources to do that. Why do you keep putting me on the spot like that? Imagine you're talking to someone and they ask a question, and then in your mind you're saying, God, why'd you put me on the spot like that? Just rolls across the television of your mind. Why do you put me on the spot like that? Why do you keep opening these doors up that I'm trying to shut, but you keep opening? You see, in this passage, Jesus says this powerful statement to his disciples. He says, you give them something to eat. And I think it's great at the heart, at the very core of Jesus and who he is, he invites us. He invites us into this journey of assisting others. You see, that's the mission statement of this particular house. And I'm not brave enough to go 1, 2, 3, let's blurt it out, but our mission statement is facilitating God's purpose in every life. You see, and here Jesus is saying, I want you to participate in changing the world around about you. And here God is saying, I want you to partake in that. I want you to grab hold of that. And you give them something to eat. So you do it. One thing I believe wholeheartedly is God's placed something inside each of us that allows us to minister to someone around about us. You see, whether it's a prayer, whether it's a word, whether it's a financial gift, whether it's a meal for someone in a time of trouble. You see, as Jesus instructs us all, would you give them something to eat? Because I've placed something inside of your life, not just for you, but for others around about you. You see, and here the disciples, they were so ill-equipped. They were so under-resourced. And I would have done exactly what they'd done. If I was back there and I was one of the disciples, I would have went for the quick fix. I would have went for the, you send them away, you know, the sun's setting. If we tell them to go now, they'll make it. They'll get to somewhere. And that would have been the easiest solution. But one of the very tragedies of this story is they've actually factored Jesus out of the equation. You see, is when you and I feel like we're lacking, when you and I feel like we're ill-equipped, when you and I feel under-resourced or feel put on the spot, more than ever would we factor Jesus into that equation rather than factor him out. You see, I can think of times when I've factored Jesus out, when I've relied on my own wisdom or my own strength or the counsel of others. And when I say that, don't get me wrong, because the counsel of others is great. But never get into the position where it's factoring Jesus out, when as a matter of fact, we should be ones that are factoring Jesus in to every occasion and every situation in our lives. You see, have I found when you and I are ill-equipped, he equips us with every spiritual blessing. When you and I are lacking in resources, as we sow, he would open up heaven. Would you factor Jesus in to every situation? You see, the disciples see the size of the problem. And there is a mismatch of the numbers. You see, there's 5,000 men plus women and kids. So there might be like 10,000 people there. And they had a limited meal. They had a little lad's lunchbox. You see, 1,000 people, one meal. It's a mismatch. Often in life, there's this mismatch. Often in life, we can find ourselves in an impossible situation. But this morning, I want to remind you that the one of the mistakes that you could possibly make, which I want to allude you to not make, is would you not be one that factors him out? Would you be one that always find yourself in a position where you're saying, God, how can you fill that gap so that I can be a person who does the impossible around about me? You see, let's have a think about this story. You know, there's a man, he's a lame man, and he's in a house, and you know, Jesus asked him to do the impossible. He says to this paraplegic man, he says to him, would you stand up? Would you stand up? Would you pick up your bed and would you walk home? And you know, picture it. Okay, just imagine that we've got a paraplegic person lying on the ground there. And then I say to him, come on, quick mate, jump up, head home, grab your bed. Like he's probably going to be sitting there saying, are you crazy? You're asking me to do the impossible. But what does that man actually do? He picks up his bed and he walks home. You see, let's think about Lazarus. You see, he's been in the grave for 4 days. He's wrapped in grave clothes. And Jesus asked him to do the impossible. Jesus says, come forth. You see, that is impossible. Like when he opened the grave, he got a whiff of a decaying body, like he was dead. And then he speaks forth, Lazarus, come forth. Something that shouldn't be able to occur. And maybe you're here today and you're a recipient of an impossible situation. You're a recipient of you find yourself in an impossible situation. And as you factor God into that situation, what seems impossible can quickly become possible. You see, Jesus wants you and I to join him on the greatest adventure. Would you give them something to eat? You see, and the disciples, they're here in this desolate place. They have no resources. But Jesus is there, and maybe you're like that this morning. Maybe you've got everything against you. I want to remind you this morning, Jesus is there. Factor him in. And Jesus can take a desolate place and turn it into a banquet table. He can take something that is so minimal, something that's a small meal, and turn it into one of the greatest feasts humanity would ever see. So this morning, I just want to quickly share a few thoughts around this passage of Scripture. And the first point being this, in order for you and I to be ones that would touch the world around about us and be outworking what the Holy Spirit calls us to do, is we need to allow for a transference to take place. You see, Jesus in verse 16, he says, Jesus taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, you see, there's this absolute mismatch. This is all he's got. This is the only resource he has. He's looking at the little in his hand and the multitude out there. And sometimes we can think God can't do anything with what we have. How can God use 5 loaves and 2 fish? How on earth can God use that talent? How on earth can God use me in that situation? And to put it simply, as God is saying, would you give it to me? Would you take whatever is in your hand and would you just place it in my hand? You see, that dream or that vision or whatever it is that God's placed on your heart, would you take what's in your hand? And whether that be, you might be looking at the current situation, the dream that God's placed on your heart, and you're saying there's a mismatch. Would you take that and put it in his hand? And can you watch God fulfill the vision, fulfill the dream that you have in your heart with the limited resources and abilities you have in your hand? And Jesus is saying, would you give them something? Would you just give it to me? He's saying your 5 loaves and your 2 fish, they don't scare me. They don't intimidate me. I'll actually use them. I'll increase them. But how often we're too scared to give it to God because we just think it's minimal. What on earth can you do with this? I remember when Tone and I, we were living in Brisbane at the time and we were starting to tithe, and I remember, the whole 10%. Well, we were getting, I think at the time, we were on Centrelink, and we were getting something like $260 a fortnight. So a fortnight, you're putting $25 in the tub, and you're going, like, I remember thinking this. Like, God, why do you want my $25? Like, it's nothing. It's insignificant. It's so minute and so little. Like, what can you do with that? You couldn't even buy a coffee a day for anyone on that. It's so insignificant. But I remember in that insignificant, the insignificance of that has meant that now when I'm on a little bit more money than $297 a fortnight, it's created a habit that you can outwork. But it actually allows God to actually say, you know that gap that you're talking about? I'm going to increase you in this area. I'm going to use you in this area. And sometimes we can be so little that we have. And it might not be financial. It might be you've got limited time. Has anyone else ever been time poor? And someone said to them, can you do this? Or Trev sent you a text and said, can you help me? And you're looking going, I'm so time poor. And you're kind of going, that's not going to work. But then you do it anyway. It's like God can use that. I remember one time, I don't even know how I got there. And I remember we got to this situation and it was sort of like this. This is just how it was once. Or maybe more than once, but this one time stings clearly in my mind. I remember looking at the bank account balance. Has anyone ever done that and looked at the bank account balance and has then looked at their current situation? And they kind of go, oh, we've got a major mismatch right here. You know, like, I know I've got rent to pay. I don't really want to eat tomato sauce on pasta for a week, like 2-minute noodles, whatever it is. I've got fuel to get to the train station. The train station's 15 Ks. Don't really want to walk that. And I remember this one time, Tone and I, we were looking at our car fuel. And our car fuel, like, I reckon for about 2 or 3 weeks, it must have run on just the sniff of petrol. Because I didn't put any petrol in that thing, but it just kept going. There was this major mismatch. And I remember many a morning sitting in the car saying, God, you've got to fill the gap because there's nothing in here. And the gauge didn't leave off empty. That light was on for many a week. But have you ever felt like that and you're scared to give God what you got because you think he can't do anything with the limited amount of what you've got? You see, and in this situation, that didn't limit God. God actually fed 5,000 men and he touched this whole area, this whole nation. And Jesus is saying, would you just give the loaves and the fishes to me? Would you put yourself in a position whereby you can outwork a great miracle that takes place due to factoring God in? Quite simply, we have to go and do something with what God's given us. We have to let go of, sometimes we have to let go of a mindset. Sometimes we have to let go of some finance. Sometimes we have to let go of something. But today, you might have to let go of control. You see, you control things closely. And maybe you've got a historical perspective and maybe every fiber in your being is saying, God can't come through for you because I've tried that and I've done that and I've tried that again and I've tried that again and each time it didn't work how I thought it should work. Would you try again and would you factor Jesus in to the whole equation? You see, a transference takes place. And here the disciples, they take this meal and they put it into the hands of Jesus. It transfers from natural hands. I've spoken on this before. It transferred from natural hands and it went to omnipotent hands. Hands of an all-powerful. hands of an all-knowing, hands of an all-sovereign God. And would you simply transfer what is in your hand into the hand of Jesus? For as long as I've been following Jesus, I've found this, that if our heart's attitude is right, God will always accept whatever it is that we give Him. You see, this morning, your greatest discomfort or your greatest sin, He'll accept that. Your greatest mistake or your greatest failing, He'll accept that. You see, your five loaves and your two fish, you may think are insignificant, but He will accept that. You see, you may have an expensive bottle of fragrance. And just as Mary came and poured it onto His life, He'll accept it. You see, would you allow a transference to take place? We have to believe that God is a God of increase. This morning, you may think that you have stone in your hand. And you may be operating in a stone realm, but God desires for you and I to move to another realm, another level. And it may be stone to you, but God can turn it into iron. You know that passage of scripture in Isaiah 60 where it talks about this? Would you give it to God? And would you allow Him to take it, to increase it, to enlarge it, to change it? You see, Jesus was never intimidated by limitation, but so often we're intimidated when we face times of limitation. Would you put it in His hand? Would you allow a transference to take place? Second point this morning is Jesus gives thanks and blesses what it is that's been given to Him. You see, in verse 16 of Luke 9, it says, Jesus took the five loaves and the two fish. He looked towards heaven and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, He kept giving the bread and the fish to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. You see, what a moment right there. You see, you give this little limitation of two fish and five loaves to omnipotent hands. And Jesus, I'm sure, is just looking. You see, he knows that there's a mismatch. But he thinks every time Jesus looked and then looked at the crowd, I imagine him looking. Like, I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, I sometimes try and put myself there and just picture what would have been going on. You see, he's looking at what's in his hand. He's looking at the crowd. He's looking at what's in his hand. And he's thinking to himself, I'm just imagining this anyway. If Jesus had his TV screen, what's going across his mind is we're going to have leftovers. Like, I can just imagine we're going to have leftovers. He might be looking at what he's got in his hand. He's looking at the crowd. Easy. Leftovers. You know, and would you and I have that sort of faith, that optimism, when we place whatever it is that's in our hands, and when we place it in God's hands, that we'll be like, we're going to have leftovers. You see, and he lifts up his eyes to heaven. And this morning, would you lift your gaze a little? Would you lift your eyes a little? Would you lift your eyes off the temporal? And would you lift your eyes to the eternal? And Jesus lifted his eyes and all he sees is leftovers. And he takes it and he blesses it and he gives thanks for it. This morning, would you just give God some time to do something with what it is that you've given him? You see, we live in a world and in an instant society that what I give God now, we expect tomorrow everything to be fine. You see, would you give him some time to do something, to speak over it, to do something with whatever it is that you've placed in his hands? You see, like Jairus' daughter, Jesus goes into the bedroom. He closes the door. Just give him some time. And we know the outcome. You see, you might be in a situation, but would you just give him some time? Would you give him some time? You see, in a matter of minutes, that girl that was not breathing was then breathing. And she was walking out of the room. You see, Jesus, if you had been here, Lazarus would have never died. You see, would you just give him some time? 4 days later, he calls Lazarus forward, saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. Would you give him some time to do something with what it is you've placed in his hand? You see, and he looks up to heaven and he blesses it. This morning, would you bless it? Even though it may be minimal, even though it may be lacking, maybe you're in a time where you're like, I don't have much, but would you bless it? Don't curse it. Would you bless it? Would you change your mindset? Would you add faith to the situation this morning? God, I bless what you've given me. If you and I bless that which is not ideal, God starts to multiply it. You see, you might say that this is not ideal right now. This situation's not ideal. You see, in the hands of the Savior, it's okay. He's not going to reject your offering, your heart, your love, your dedication, your words. He's going to take that which we feel are not ideal, and he's going to bless it, and he's going to multiply it. You see, Jesus blesses what we give him, not for what it's worth. You see, I was thinking about this. You see, the cost of that 2 fish and 3 loaves of bread, maybe a bit of time, go and catch a couple of fish. You know, you can get a loaf of bread for $1.90. God doesn't bless it based upon its numerical value. He blesses it because he knows once his touch is upon it, its value will increase dramatically as it glorifies God. Would you look up? Would you change your gaze? And would you see all that God desires to do? The third thought this morning is this. Jesus brings increase to what is given to him. You see, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so that they could distribute it to the people. And God desires to take you and I to another level. You see, as he said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you, and in your blessing, I'm going to continue to bless you. Abraham, in your multiplying, I'm going to continue to multiply you. We can believe that in our times of blessing, that God can continue to pour out his blessing upon our lives. I just imagine Jesus would have been there and he would have had, like, at what moment did he need to go to the second loaf of bread? Like, he would have been breaking it off. He would have been giving it to his disciples. And it's like that, you know that ad, that Tim Tam ad? And it's that wish for that Tim Tam packet, the never-ending packet of Tim Tams. Like, you pull a Tim Tam out, another one. Pull it, the never-ending packet of Tim Tams. Well, I imagine it would have been somewhat similar when he's got this loaf of bread, but he's got 3 loaves of bread and 2 fish. At what moment did that 1 loaf of bread... Then you go, I've used that loaf of bread to feed five. I've got to go to the next loaf of bread, or I've got to go to the next fish. I just imagine that, when did that unlimited supply mean that you have to go to the next loaf of bread? Silly thought, I know, but I just wonder about how, when God takes something, he brings increase. When his hand's all over it, he brings increase. You see, Jesus blesses it, and then he breaks it, and then he starts to give it to his disciples. And I imagine, like, if you were in your house, and you opened the fridge, and you got a Tim Tam out of that packet, and then you went back and you went, there's more there? It's still all full. Sure, I had one. You did it. I imagine after doing that a couple of times, your mind would be a little bit somewhat blown. I can imagine Peter here is somewhat mind's been blown. He, in a natural sense, what is limited has been put into the hands of Jesus, and in doing so, increase has happened. Increase has happened. You see, would you allow God to continue to flow through you, that in your blessing you can remain blessed? You see, the season doesn't have to end. That in your multiplying, you can continue to be multiplied on the basis that you keep dividing, you keep giving, you keep outworking, you keep sowing that gift, you keep sowing love and that word and finance and that talent and that time, whatever it is. You see, God stops multiplying when we stop dividing. And my last thought this morning is that Jesus is revealed by what we give him. You see, John 6:13, another version of this great miracle. He says, now there is 12 baskets left over. And as Jesus considered the crowd that day, he knew that there was going to be leftovers. And I'm sure the last action at the end of the day was 12 disciples who were hours earlier were saying this, send them away. Send them away. And Jesus says, you give them something. And I'm sure as Jesus had the 12 baskets and he was standing over it and he said to his disciples, I want you to divide it. And the disciples divided it and divided it into the contents of the basket rows and rows and rows until they were full. And then Peter takes the last piece of bread and throws it in. And when you and I stop dividing what God has placed in our hands, God will stop multiplying and all had been fed. You see, this is a great miracle of all. A little boy, he gets to take home 12 baskets full. You see, imagine his mum when he gets home. You see, Jesus is revealed by what we give him, no matter how small. You see, this little boy's lunch became a great revealer of Christ to this large crowd. You see, at the end of the day, at the end of the miracle, they're saying, this truly is a prophet. This guy is a king. Could it be the gifts that you and I place in God's hands? That humanity would actually see God through what we actually give him. Wouldn't it be great that as you and I, we hand God what we have, and we invest some time and some effort and some energy into the world around about us, and as a result, they would say things like, God's real. How could I not believe? You see, what we give him is a great revealer of who he is in our world. You see, this morning, the gift that we give God is not just for us. It's not like we don't tithe so we can have a great return on our investment. It's not like we sit back and we say, I'm tithing because I know that there's going to be a return on that investment. If that's why you're doing it, your heart's intent's wrong. You see, this morning, we don't just give for that reason. But rather, we give so that we can see God be revealed in the world around about us. Because what we give God is the great revealer of him.